The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Go ahead, give them a hand. They did a great job. Thank you, Miss Palmer. Also worked with them. It takes a lot of work to help teenagers sing. You know that. So thank you for that. I'd ask that you not look at me as the youth pastor or as Jonathan Wells or as the pastor's son tonight. Honestly, please look at the Word of God as it's being preached tonight, if you don't mind, please. Because some people, I've been preaching for a long time. I started preaching full-time when I was 17. You know the story. We were in evangelism for 12 years, and as a 17-year-old, I said, you know, Dad, what do I do now? Do I travel? And I've got all these churches wanting me to do their vacation Bible schools and camps. He said, yes, that's what you need to do. And so for accountability's sake, my brother came with me, and both my brother Joshua and I, we traveled for 6 years, and we did vacation Bible schools and camps and kids' crusades, and we had a lot of fun. A lot of stories we could tell. Car breaking down. The church we were going to one time in North Carolina, my car broke down. The radiator cracked. And the car did more than just break down. I mean, it was done. So we're sitting there on the side of the road, and that church was, what, Josh, 6 hours away still? 12 hours away? It was a long ways away. So the church was a long ways away. They rented a U-Haul trailer, came down, picked us up, and took us up to the church, and they fixed my car. We just had a lot of stories, a lot of neat stories. You don't know that side of us. You really don't know that side of us. You know us from the past 5-6 years, and that's about it. But I do ask that you please listen to the Word of God tonight, please. God has laid some things on my heart, and it's neat because we just taught the Sunday school lesson this morning on the will of God, and I had been, you know, I felt like that's what God wanted me to preach on all along, was the will of God. We grew up on this story. I don't know how many of you grew up going to Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher would say, you know, wow, have the faith that Peter had. Peter walked on the water. Peter had faith to get out of the boat and walk on the water. How many of you were taught that story that way? Have faith like Peter had. Good, put your hands down. I am about to pop that balloon right now. I was reading it, and I started thinking, wait a minute. Something is not right with this story. Something is not right. Something is wrong with this entire picture. I want you to go back to the first verse that we read, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Here is the will of God. Here's what Jesus told his disciples to do. Are you ready? Verse 22, the Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, read the rest of it with me, and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So here was God's plan. Here was God's will. Jesus looked at Peter and all those disciples in the boat. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get into the boat and go to the other side. That was God's will. That was God's will. Now we know the story. Jesus went up after he sent all the multitudes away. He went apart by himself to pray. And after he got done, it was about the fourth watch of the night, early morning hours. So Jesus says, okay, I'm just going to walk on the water off to the other side. The storm had come. The waves were crashing. The lightning was around. And here comes Jesus walking on the water, and they didn't recognize him. Matter of fact, they started getting scared, thinking, it's a spirit. And here's what Jesus says. Look down at verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now listen very closely and carefully at what Peter says. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, now wait a minute. God already said, the Lord already said, it is I. That's what he already said. It's me. Don't be afraid. It's me. Here's Peter. If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. God's will, don't forget it. Jesus said, get in the boat, go to the other side. Jesus has already said, don't be scared, it's me. Here's what Peter said, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. There was no choice given. What's Jesus going to do? Look at him and say, no, it's not me. I was just lying. What was Jesus going to do? Peter gave God no choice. Think about it. Peter gave God no choice, no room whatsoever to lead him and direct him. So here's what he said. Hey, if it's really you, bid me to come unto thee on the water. One word, Jesus says, come. At that very instant, Peter changed the will of God for his life. At that very instant, Peter left the will of God for his life for a different will of God for his life. You see, Peter went from the planned will to the permitted will. I don't know about you, but I don't want God's permitted will for my life. I want God's planned will for my life. I want God's original plan for my life. So what happened to Peter? Peter left God no choice. He said, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Teenagers, children, kids, have you ever changed your parents' mind about something? Your mom and dad looks at you and says, no, you can't have it. But mom, but dad, if you loved me, if you really loved me, you're laughing because it has been done before. It has been tried before. If you really loved me, you'd let me have that cell phone. If I was really your favorite child, you would let me have that car. Leaving your parents no choice in the matter. What, you think your parents are going to look at you and go, no, I don't love you. Get out of the house. Now you're laughing because you have said that, okay? My wife, it's very dangerous when the wife looks at you and says, do you love me? That is very dangerous. My wife looked at me the other day. She wanted some new skirts. She said, I need some casual skirts. I said, how much are they? She told me the price. I said, ugh. That's exactly what I said, ugh. She said, how many shoes did you buy the other day? I said, ugh. She said, seriously, how many shoes did you buy yourself from online the other day? She said, four. And I said, no, three. She said, okay. I said, you're right. You can buy three skirts. She said, thank you. My wife, you got to be very careful because she'll look at me and she'll say, do you love me? I'll say, yes, I love you. What do you want? You kids, you'll go up to your mom and dad and you'll say, do you love me? Yes. What do you want? You girls, you young ladies, you go up and you fix your dad his favorite drink, whether it be sweet tea or Dr. Pepper or glass of water or whatever it may be. You go and fix it for him, and all of a sudden, you throw a little towel over your arm and you go up to your dad and say, dad, here you go. Your dad looks at you with suspicion and goes, what's up? What do you want? What do you want? Have you ever changed your parents' mind? Think about it. Your parents wanted you to do something, but you changed their mind. You connived them and changed their mind. You kept bugging them and changed their mind. You see, your parents had a reason that they said what they said. So that's why you should do exactly what they said that you should do. Don't keep bugging them about it, because eventually you're going to change their mind and you're going to end up getting hurt or messing up or doing something you shouldn't do. It's going to mess you up and you're going to go, oops, they were right. Of course they were right. Here's Peter. Peter said, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. If it's really you, God, he had already said, it's me. He had already told him, stay in the boat. He said, God, if it's really you, call me unto you on the water. One word, Jesus said, come. At that instance, he changed the will of God for his life. He got out of the original planned will of God. You see, in that boat, there was a lot more safety than walking on the water. But you see, here is what Peter wanted. Peter didn't want a sitting in the boat ministry. Peter wanted a walking on the water ministry. You see, we've got a lot of church members these days. They don't want a sitting in the boat ministry. They want a walking on the water ministry. And so they get dissatisfied and they get uncomfortable with what God has them doing. And they say, God, if you really loved me, you'd let me do that. God, if you really cared about me, you'd let me be in that position. God, if you really loved me, if you really cared about me, you'd let me be a Sunday school teacher. You'd let me be a youth pastor. You'd let me be the music director. You'd let me do something greater for you. And you leave God no choice. You see, God has a perfect planned will for your life. You just simply decide, I'm going to keep doing what God wants me to do, and I'm just going to keep trucking along. Why? Because God's planned will is better than the permitted will that I asked God for. He got out of the safety of the boat and faced the storm all by himself. Yeah, he walked on the water, but then he fell. Why? Because he went from God's planned will to God's permitted will. When you leave the safety of God's will, that's when things start to mess up. So, how can I stay in the will of God? Number one, be content with God's will. Be content with God's will. You see, here's what Paul said. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. You say the Apostle Paul had to learn something? Yes. Just like I've had to learn this, just like many of us have had to learn this. He said, I have learned, and in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We have a lot of teenagers and college students and young adults and even married couples and even older people. They are just dissatisfied with where God has them. You see, even the Apostle Paul said, I had to learn to be what? Content. Content. We have to learn just to be content. Just be satisfied with where God has you. Just be satisfied with what God has you doing. Why? Because if you decide to change God's will, you're going to end up goofing. You're going to end up messing up. I called my dad one day and I said, we were up in Indiana doing a vacation Bible school in Bern, Indiana. Called my dad up and I said, Dad, there's this girl. She's pretty. And Dad, she works with kids, and I think she'd be a good wife. I said, what do I do? He said, don't talk to her. I said, okay. So I didn't talk to her. A couple days later, I was still talking about her to my dad. He put me on speakerphone, and I was talking to him and my mom, and my sister just had to chime in because she always wanted to make sure I got a good girl. And so she was chiming in too, and finally they said, send us a picture. I said, okay. So I was always taking pictures, vacation Bible schools and everything. I snapped a picture of what is my wife now, Heather. I snapped a picture of her. She was up on the back of the bus seat, hair up in a bun, sweat coming down, going like this with all the kids, trying to get them to sing. And I sent that beautiful, glorious picture to my parents and said, this is her. Make blush, all that coming off, makeup gone. It's great. It's wonderful. So my dad said, okay, we'll pray about it. I said, Dad, I got these butterflies. He said, kill them. We'll pray about it. We'll pray about it. I said, yes, sir. You think I'm lying? You ask him. That is his exact words. He said, kill them. 3 months went by. We went up to do a revival service up there. And my dad said, okay, do you still feel this way about her? I said, yes, I do. He said, okay, we'll go talk to the preacher. So he went and he talked to the preacher because the preacher knows the members best. The preacher knows more about the members than anybody else knows. And so it's always good to get counsel from that person's man of God. So he went and he started talking to the preacher, and the preacher said, okay, well, I think that'd be okay. And so he said, okay, let's go talk to the parents. And so they brought the parents in. They started talking to my father-in-law now, and my mother-in-law started talking to them. And they said, okay, well, my wife was getting suspicious. She was over there thinking, what is going on? Her first thought was, uh-oh, I bet Jonathan likes my sister. I bet he likes my sister. So a little while later, you know, a couple days later, I got a green light from her dad to go ahead and become her friend, to get to know her a little bit. And so her mom takes her outside. Was it outside on the porch or something like that? Where did she sit you down? The living room? So she went and sat her down, and my wife was braced for the fact that she is going to say, you're about to lose your sister. She is going to go. She's going to leave. She's gonna like this Wells boy and all this kind of stuff. They're going to get married, have a wonderful life together and all this kind of stuff. So she looks at my wife, Heather, at the time, and she looks at her and says, "Well, Jonathan Wells is interested in becoming your friend." And she was just like, So we were allowed to become friends. Every time we talked on the phone, our parents had to be there with us. They had to listen to our conversation. When we wrote letters to each other, her parents had to read the letter I sent to her before she read it, and my parents had to read the letter she sent to me before I read it, and things like that. What were they doing? They were protecting us. They were protecting our heart. Now, that was the will of God. That was the will of God. God's will was I obey my parents, because my dad told me, he said, if you just keep doing what God wants you to do, one day he'll send you a wife. Adam was asleep in the Garden of Eden. Was he out wife hunting? He was not out wife hunting. Was he out wife shopping? He was not out wife shopping. He didn't even know they existed. He had named every creature on the planet but that one. Think about it. Just let that sink in for a minute. He didn't even know she existed. So he went to sleep. God put him to sleep. God pulled a rib out of him. He woke up and he's like, whoa, man. And that's how she got her name. But get the picture. The will of God was Adam, work. Do what I have you doing and I will give you a wife. My dad told me, Jonathan, just work. Do what I have you doing. Do what God has you doing and God will send you a wife. And God gave me my beautiful wife. Now, that did not happen overnight. As a matter of fact, I was engaged before I even knew her to another lady. Yes, but God did not see that that happened, that that would happen. And so, that just didn't work out. Now, I never got married and divorced and then married her. That's not how it worked. But you see, because I followed what God wanted me to do, God brought her into my life. So many people want to change the will of God because they're dissatisfied with where God has them. They're just not comfortable with where God has them. They're thinking, man, if I could just do something else, if I could just be something else, everything else would be a lot smoother. Now, I've got news for you. You just do what God wants you to do, and you just be content. Let's learn to be content with wherever God has you. Just be content with where God has you. Just be content with where God has you. My dad has told me over and over again. He said, there's people in the church that just want to leave and go do something else. He said, but honestly, I can't recommend them. He doesn't tell me your names, but he says, I can't recommend them to go do something else because they're not doing anything here. How can I recommend them to go be an assistant pastor somewhere when they're not doing an assistant pastor job here? And they're an assistant pastor worthy job here. How can I recommend them to go do something there when they're not even serving here? How can I recommend them to do something there when they're not even willing to flush a commode here? They're not even willing to vacuum a floor here. How can I recommend them to do it? You know why? You're dissatisfied. Dissatisfied. We need a group body, a church members, just to get together like a membership body that God has us and decide we are a group, we are a family, and we are going to serve God with where God has us. We have things that need to be done in this church, so what do? We serve God. We have vacuums that need to be pushed, so we serve God. We have toilets that need to be cleaned, so we serve God. We have trash that needs to be picked up, so we serve God. We have a lawn that needs to be cut, so we serve God. We have buses that need to be run, so we serve God. We have buses that need to be cleaned, so we serve God. We have those buses take fuel, and so we serve God. So what do? You be content. Be content. How do I stay in God's will? You be content. You be content with where God has you. You stop. The moment you stop being content is the moment you're out of God's will and you're changing God's will for your life. There was a missionary and a missionary's wife. They were in Africa. And this missionary's wife was always nervous. She always heard the wild animals at night and she got very nervous. She loved her kids. She loved her kids. And any good mama would love her kids. So she loved her kids, and the dad loved her kids, and his kids too. But she always bugged him, and she said, I'm too nervous being here. I don't want to be here anymore. Now, they had gone on deputation. They raised all the money. They ended up on the mission field in Africa. But she kept pestering him and pestering him and pestering him. She kept saying, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to leave. I want to get out of here. One day a wild animal is going to kill our kids. I don't want that to happen. So the husband yielded to the wife. Now, you got to be very careful, wives. You've got to be very careful. If my wife bugged me about it and bugged me about it and bugged me about it long enough, and she kept saying, honey, I don't want to be here. Honey, I don't want to be here. Honey, I don't want to be here. I promise you, it's going to get to me. It's going to get to me, and eventually I'm going to yield to her. And what happens, a wife can change the will of God for the whole family if she's not careful. So here's what that missionary's wife did. They went back home. They rented a trailer. They were home one day. The husband was out working, and all of a sudden she heard her children screaming in the backyard. She went outside, and a snake had bit both of them. She called an ambulance. She was on the phone with 911, and she tried to get help, and help was too late. The very thing that she feared would kill her kids on the mission field killed her kids at home. All because she was not content with the will of God. The moment you get out of the will of God, like Peter jumped out of that boat, is the moment you leave the safety and protection God has for you in that will. The moment you step out is the moment you face the storm all by yourself. Number two, don't just be content with God's will. Be concerned about God's will. Be concerned about God's will. We have so many people these days, they don't even care about God's will. I told the teenagers the other day, I had a big long string, and I threw it all the way to the other end of the room there and had this little piece of tape on the other end wrapped around and said, you know what's between the 2 years on a casket, or on, what is that, a tombstone? What is between that? And they said a dash. So I had that little piece of tape there and the rest of the string going all the way to the room. I said, you know what a lot of people do? They are working for that little dash and everything to fill that little dash rather than laying up treasures in heaven. You're going to live in heaven forever. Forever. We need to be more concerned about God's will. Be more concerned about God's will. When's the last time you had somebody saved? When's the last time you brought somebody to church? When's the last time you cared about somebody who was in need? Hey, we need people that are just simply concerned about God's will. Concerned about God's will. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said in the verse before that, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. One thing I do. So Paul was determined with one thing in his life. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I've told the teenagers over and over and over again, you can't keep focusing on things in your past and reach forth at the same time and keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. It doesn't matter if the stuff in your past was bad or if it was good. You can't keep reaching back and go forward at the same time. What's a person do when they win a trophy? They set it on the shelf and leave it there. They don't set it in their doorway and trip over it every time they go out. Why? The trophy has been won. It is done. Put it away. It doesn't matter if you have something good in your past or bad in your past. You can't press forward and be concerned about God's will while you're reaching backward. Number three, be consistent in God's will. Be consistent in God's will. The Bible says, a faithful man who can find. There was a Korean man, he was in the military, and he was always saying how good God was and how much he loved God and trusted God. So the captain there, he was doing the drills, and he looked at him. Everybody was making fun. Everybody always made fun of him because he was Christian. Everybody always laughed at him because he was Christian. So this captain looked at him and said, here's what I want you to do. If you really have faith in your God, go over there to that Jeep and move it. The guy did not know how to drive. And so he's thinking to himself, well, I do have faith in God, but I don't know how to drive. The captain said, exactly. So if you move that Jeep, we'll see how good your God is. So the guy was all nervous, and he was praying as he walked up to that Jeep. He got in the Jeep, didn't even know what he was doing. Didn't even know what he's doing. He stepped on the gas and he moved the Jeep where the captain told him to move it. He got out of the Jeep and came back over. He was trembling. He was shaking. And the captain was crying. And the men were crying. And he looked at him and said, what's going on? The captain said, you must serve an amazing God. He said, why? He said, that truck did not have an engine in it. Here's a man that said, I'm going to be consistent in God's will. I'm going to be consistent in God's will. Here's the common mistake or the common quote I hear people say that don't want to be. They're not satisfied with where God has them. They say, I can't serve God here. Well, I've got a little statement for you. If you can't serve God here, you will not serve him there. People that say, I just can't serve God here. The Bible says, you've heard it, I'm going to be content. Paul said, I learned to be content. Here's how you should treat God's will. Go to Luke chapter 22. Peter changed the will of God for his life. Here is how you should treat the will of God. Luke chapter 22 and verse 41. Luke chapter 22 and verse 41. Here's the story of Jesus praying in the garden. The Bible says in verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Jesus did not pray and say, Father, if you love me, remove this cup from me. You think Jesus wanted to be beat? You think Jesus wanted a crown of thorns on his head? He felt the pain of a human being. He had taken on the form of us. You think Jesus wanted to be spit on? You think Jesus wanted his beard ripped out of his face? You think Jesus wanted people laughing at him and he could look at them and simply with one word kill them? You think Jesus wanted to do that? He didn't want to do that. Now, did he want us to go to heaven? Yes, but I promise you, he did not want to endure the pain. But because he loved us, he did. He said, if thou be willing. He didn't say, if you're real, God, remove this cup from me. He didn't say, if you love me, remove this cup from me. So many times we get that in our head and we get stuck on that situation where we say, God, if you were real, none of this would have happened to me. And God, if you really loved me, this situation wouldn't have happened to me. And God says, no, you just don't understand. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And no, we don't always understand why things happen to us. And we don't always understand why things happen to other people. But if we just simply decide to say, it's not my will, but thine be done. Here's what Jesus said. He said, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus said, it's not what I want to do, it's whatever you want me to do, God. God, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. We need a group of people at Parkside Baptist Church that have simply decided, I'm not going to do it for me, I'm going to do it for him. It's not my will, but thine be done. It's not my will, but thine be done. Hey, God, if you want me to have that position, great. If not, not my will, but thine be done. Hey, God, if you want me to be a Sunday school teacher, that's great, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I'll still do what you want me to do in every walk of life, in everything of life. Why? I want your will for my life. You say, what is the will of God? Did you know God has more than one will for your life? He does. He has many wills for your life. Think about it. He says, go ye into all the world. You say, is that God's will? Yes. God wants you to be a soul winner. If you're not a soul winner, you're not in the will of God. It's as simple as that. That is a will of God for your life and my life. Go ye into all the world. If you're not soul winning, you're out of the will of God. God says, be faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you're not a faithful individual and you don't come to church faithfully, you are not in the will of God. It's as simple as that. You are jumping ship. You're out of the will of God. God says you're supposed to forgive people. The Bible says, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will God forgive you. That's heavy. God says, if you don't forgive people, I won't forgive you. If you are not forgiving people, you are out of God's will. God says, give thanks. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the, say it, will of God. This is the will of God. So if you're not giving thanks in everything, you're out of the will of God. You are out of the will of God. You say, I have to be thankful that the air conditioner is out. In everything give thanks. For this is the what? Will of God. You mean, Brother Hemminger, if my door falls off my vehicle, I need to give thanks? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My child ends up in the hospital. In everything, if you can find something to be thankful for, your child is not dead. You go to the hospital, you see a lot more children worse off than your child. Everything, give thanks. A person that is not thankful is not in the will of God. Not only that, honoring your mom and your dad. A child that does not honor their parents is not in the will of God. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. You don't obey your parents, you don't honor your parents, you are not right with God. You are not right with God. Not only that, I'm just giving you examples of the wills of God. You're supposed to love your neighbor. The Bible says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I wonder if we were to listen to your conversation about other people. Just put it in perspective. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. So basically, you love people like you love you. Would you want somebody saying about you what you are saying about them? The moment you start doing that, you're not right with God. You're out of the will of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. God has many wills. Not only that, the Bible says, be kind. Be kind one to another. The moment you are unkind to someone is the moment you're out of the will of God. God says, you're supposed to read the Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So the day you don't read your Bible, you're not in the will of God. Bible says pray without ceasing. The day you stop praying is the day you're not right with God. I'll give you these closing verses. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Don't change the will of God for your life. So many people want a position. It's not about position. It's simply about serving. The greatest position is a serving position. The greatest position is a serving position. That's why we teach these teenagers, hey, go grab a vacuum. Go vacuum that up. Hey, let's go clean this bathroom. Hey, let's go stack these chairs. Let's sweep up. Let's mop up. What are we teaching them? We're teaching them how to be servants. Servants. Serve. Isaiah 55, verse 6. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Bible says something very interesting here. What's that first word in verse 7? Let. So that means it is possible not to let. Do you agree with me? If God says you need to let something, that means it's possible not to let it happen. He says, let the wicked forsake his way. Do you mean there are people in churches today that will not let the wicked forsake their way? Yes, there are. They want nothing to do with them. You think I want that smoker hanging around my kid? You think I want that bus person hanging around my kid? That is a person that is not letting the wicked forsake their way. We've got to be very careful. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. We have got to, as a church body, allow people to come back to God. That's what I love about Parkside Baptist Church, is our preacher lets people come back. He lets people come back. Why? Because if we knew everything, I preached today upstairs in the youth department, the man that was blinded, and Jesus walked up to him, and he spit on the clay, and he rubbed it in his eyes. And the man, he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. And I've read that so many times, I think, did God make a mistake? No, God doesn't make mistakes. What did he do? Not heal him enough? He saw men as trees walking. Then I started thinking, wait a minute. He saw us like God sees us. God compares us to trees. He knows us by the fruit of our labor. That man instantly saw everybody by their fruit. God overhealed him. I told those teenagers, can you imagine if somebody saw all of us as trees walking around? Well, that limb's dead. Well, that's a dried up tree. Well, that's putting out some poison. That one's putting out some good fruit. You see, here's what our preacher does, and he's tried to teach us, because everything he's doing is from the Bible. Let him return to the Lord. We're about to start Reformers Unanimous. We're going to learn a lot about this verse right here, where we let people return to the Lord. There are so many people out there, they want to sit in a pew like you're sitting in. They want to dress like you're dressing. But there's so many churches out there that are high and mighty, and they don't care about the bus kids, and they don't care about the down and outs, and they don't care about the drug addicts who want to come back to Christ, and they don't care about the drunks who want to get right with God. Hey, we need to rise up like a church body that God has given us, and simply decide, you know what I'm going to do? The will of God. And I'm going to allow people to come to God, and I'm going to allow people to come back to Christ, and I'm going to lead people to Christ, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Why does God say that? The Bible says he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It's a very powerful verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So many times we have a way that we want to go, and God says, no, your ways are not my ways. I want you to go this way. But God, if it's really you, you're not giving him a choice. If you really love me, you're giving him no choice. If you really cared about me, you're giving him no choice. See, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. So what does it boil down to when it comes to the will of God? It boils down to us just trusting him, where we take everything we have and give it to him. How come it's so hard for us to trust in God with our life, but it's so easy for us to trust in him to take us to heaven? I never have understood that. We say, trust in God. We even give the illustration of, you put your whole weight on this chair. That means you're putting your full trust in Jesus Christ to take you to heaven. But how about that with everyday life? Let's get back to where we trust in God. And when he says, get in the ship, go to the other side. When the storm comes, we stay in the ship and go to the other side. Where did Jesus bring Peter back to? The ship. He could have picked Peter back up and said, let's keep walking while they face the storm. Let's keep walking while they row to land. No, what did Jesus do? He put him back where he originally wanted him. So many times somebody will leave a church and they end up coming back. Why? Because they realized that's where God had them to begin with, and they should have stayed. Here's my final thought. While you're waiting on God's will for your life, focus on his will for your day. Because just like I was just focused and focused and focused on those kids and preaching at Vacation Bible School, all of a sudden, there she was. Because I was focused every day, and God brought her across my path. Don't change God's will. Don't change God's will. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.